After the Titanomachy and the fall of the Titans, the world entered the Silver Age of Greek mythology. The world was in turmoil, the debris of the cosmic conflict still scattered across the heavens and earth. Yet, amidst the chaos, a new era beckoned, and the Olympians realized that they had a chance to reshape the world and bring order to the universe. Up on Mount Olympus, the Olympians ruled, overseeing the world below them. However, this was still the early days of their rule. Including Zeus and his siblings, there were only six Olympians. First came Hestia, the goddess of the hearth. She was gentle and radiant, the embodiment of warmth and hospitality. She graced every home and hearth, filling it with the comforting embrace of family and love. She represented the sacred flame that burned in every household. Amidst the divine siblings, Hestia held the honor of being the eldest, revered for her nurturing presence that brought harmony to her fellow gods. She radiated a serene aura, fostering a sense of security and belonging. Though she did not actively engage in combat, her presence provided comfort and stability to the Olympians, serving as a beacon of warmth and unity. Next was Demeter, the goddess of agriculture. She nurtured life and walked the earth with grace and majesty. She held the power to sway the seasons and nurture bountiful harvests, bestowing prosperity upon the mortal realm. The earth blossomed under her care, and mortals revered her as the giver of life. Her presence exuded fertility and abundance, and her touch brought forth bountiful harvests. She nourished the Olympians and their forces, ensuring their strength and vitality. Her ability to manipulate the seasons and grow bountiful crops was a valuable asset. Hera, the queen of gods and goddess of marriage, radiated an air of authority and wisdom. As the goddess of marriage, she presided over sacred unions, offering her knowledge and protection to all who sought her counsel. Her presence exuded a regal aura, and even her fellow Olympians respected her as a formidable force. Her regal grace and wisdom made her a pillar of authority and guidance. She provided strategic counsel to Zeus and supported him during his conquests. Her divine authority and wisdom were instrumental in the Olympian success. Following them was Hades, the god of the underworld. Hades was a shadowy figure, veiled in mystery. The realm of the dead lay under his sovereign rule, and while some may have feared him, his impartial judgment ensured souls found their rightful place in the afterlife. Hades, though seldom seen among the living, commanded respect and awe, presiding over matters of life and death. With his immense strength and strategic prowess, Hades' role was crucial. His dominion over the realm of the dead granted him access to mighty forces that could tip the scales of battle. Poseidon, the god of the seas, commanded the vast ocean's might. His dominion over the seas inspired both fear and reverence as he unleashed powerful storms and calmed turbulent waters. With an adventurous spirit, he roamed the depths of the sea, mysterious and captivating in equal measure. Poseidon's emotions mirror the ever-changing tides, from calm serenity to raging storms. His wrath could be as fierce as the most violent tsunami, and his benevolence could soothe troubled waters and bring forth a bountiful harvest of fish. And of course, there was Zeus, the king of gods. Charismatic and ambitious, his thunderous presence echoed across the heavens, shaping the very fabric of existence with might and wise governance. Zeus held dominion over the skies, his powers controlling the thunder and lightning itself. He was the youngest and most powerful among them. Destined for greatness, Zeus's strength and leadership put him at the forefront of war, rallying his allies and guiding them to victory. While there were other gods and titans out in the cosmos that did not oppose Zeus during the war, he was wary of including them in their new regime. The memories of the Titanomachy were still fresh in his mind. The war had been a bitter struggle, with bloodshed staining the heavens and earth alike. Zeus understood that inviting the older generation to the Council of Olympians might ignite ancient grudges, sparking turmoil and chaos once more. Moreover, the Olympians represented change, a new order in the cosmos. They were gods of a new generation, infused with fresh vigor and innovative ideas. Zeus believed that to ensure stability and progress, it was essential to embrace the spirit of the young gods who carried the legacy of the past, but were unburdened by its mistakes. But the task of divine governance was not without challenges. one of the original six Olympians, Hades, the enigmatic and somber god of the underworld, approached Zeus with a solemn request. Hades was a deity of great power, his realm in Tartarus a testament to his dominion over the souls of the departed. He expressed his desire to continue his rule over the realm of the dead, believing that this was his rightful place. Recognizing Hades' mastery over the underworld, Zeus granted his request. He knew that maintaining a balanced order between the realms of the living and the dead was of utmost importance, and so Hades descended to Tartarus, assuming his role as the stern but just ruler of the realm of shadows. With Hades' seat now vacant on Mount Olympus, there were only five that remained: Zeus, Hera, Poseidon, Demeter, and Hestia. As Zeus pondered on who should join the ranks of the Olympians, a majestic figure caught his eye. Aphrodite, the goddess of love, beauty, and desire, appeared on the shores of Cyprus. She was a child of Uranus, but her birth was most unusual. After Cronus castrated Uranus and threw his severed parts into the sea, a swirling foam began to rise. It was from this sea foam that the radiant and enchanting Aphrodite was born. Her beauty captivated all who beheld her. She was unlike any other deity, and her allure captured the hearts of both gods and mortals alike. It was as if love itself had taken on a divine form. Aphrodite's arrival caused quite a stir among the Olympians. Some were in awe of her grace, while others were wary of the potential disruptions her presence might bring. Zeus, the ruler of the gods, recognized her power and influence over mortal hearts. He saw an opportunity to foster unity among the gods and ensure the harmony of Mount Olympus. Zeus called for a grand assembly of the Olympians. The gods and goddesses gathered, each with their own opinions and desires. Zeus, with his wisdom and authority, addressed the assembly, speaking of the importance of love and beauty in the mortal realm. He praised Aphrodite's inherent gifts and her ability to inspire passion and affection. As the assembly listened, Aphrodite herself spoke with eloquence and grace. She explained that love was a divine force that connected all beings, binding them in a complex tapestry of emotions and relationships. She vowed to use her powers to bring harmony and joy to the hearts of both gods and mortals. Hera, the queen of the gods and Zeus's wife, acknowledged Aphrodite's potential, but also expressed concerns about the consequences of unchecked passion. She feared that mortals might fall into uncontrollable desires and make rash decisions under the influence of love. To address Hera's concerns, Aphrodite assured the queen that she would temper her gifts with compassion and wisdom. She promised not to use her powers to sow discord or chaos, but instead to foster genuine connections based on love and understanding. Zeus saw the genuine goodness in Aphrodite's intentions and the potential she held to enrich the lives of gods and mortals alike. He proclaimed that Aphrodite would be counted among the Olympians, granting her a seat of honor on Mount Olympus. But there were still many seats that needed to be filled. As Zeus contemplated the best course of action, he looked to the next generation of gods, many of which were his own children. Though still young, he believed that they should be the ones to take up the remaining seats on the divine council. He first looked to Athena. Athena was Zeus's first child, but she too was not born in the usual way. Prior to Hera, Zeus took the Titaness of wisdom, Metis, as his first wife. As their bond grew, Metis became pregnant with Zeus's child. However, the Fates, known as the Moirai, who were the weavers of destiny, foretold Zeus's downfall at the hands of one of his own children. Zeus, having learned this prophecy, suffered from an overwhelming sense of paranoia, just like his father and grandfather before him. Zeus saw no other choice. In order to protect himself, Zeus devoured the pregnant Metis, eliminating the threat. Or so he thought. As time passed, and Zeus took his seat on Mount Olympus, he began to experience painful headaches. Seeking relief, he called for his divine blacksmith, Hephaestus. With a single mighty blow, Hephaestus split open Zeus's skull, hoping to cure Zeus of his headaches. To their surprise, a radiant figure emerged from Zeus's head. This figure was Athena. She emerged fully grown and clad in gleaming armor. As it turns out, while Metis was trapped within Zeus, she nurtured Athena. She bestowed her wisdom upon her and forged the armor she adorned. When the time was right, she forced her escape. Athena was the embodiment of her mother's wisdom and Zeus's strategic brilliance. She became the goddess of wisdom, courage, and strategic warfare. a force to be reckoned with. Upon seeing Athena, Zeus felt an overwhelming sense of pride and love for his newly born daughter. This unique birth was considered a sign of her divine status and wisdom. Because of this, Zeus immediately thought of Athena when trying to fill the seats on Mount Olympus. He welcomed her as one of the Olympians, granting her a permanent place among the divine assembly on Mount Olympus. Next, he looked to his twins, Artemis and Apollo. The twins were born from Leto, the titaness of motherhood and demureness, and the daughter of the titans Coeus and Phoebe. She was also Zeus's lover before Hera. After the events of the Titanomachy, when Zeus took Hera as his wife, Leto was already pregnant with the twins. However, Hera, in her jealous rage, casted Leto away from Olympus, forcing her to wander the earth and forcing hardships upon her. Eventually, Leto found refuge on the island of Delos, where she first gave birth to Artemis, and then after 9 days of labor, gave birth to Apollo. Artemis was the goddess of the hunt, moon, and chastity. She was also known as the goddess of childbirth and wilderness, for she helped her mother Leto give birth to Apollo at no more than a few days old. From a young age, Artemis displayed remarkable abilities and interests. She quickly demonstrated her prowess in archery and hunting, skills that would become central to her identity as the goddess of the hunt. She was often depicted with a silver bow and arrows, and her aim was said to be impeccable. Artemis's love for the wilderness led her to roam the forest and mountains, accompanied by her band of loyal priestesses, nymphs and hounds. She was a fierce deity, embodying the untamed beauty and power of nature. Artemis also had a nurturing aspect. She was often called upon to ease the pain of labor and protect women during childbirth. Her dual nature as both a fierce huntress and a compassionate deity further exemplified her complexity. She was a prominent figure, and she played various roles in the lives of mortals and heroes. She was known for her strong sense of justice and her swift punishment of those who dared to harm her priestesses or violate the sanctity of her domain. Artemis's presence was felt in the hunt, in the protection of young women, and in the guidance she provided to those who sought her wisdom. Her divine archery skills were celebrated, and she was often invoked by hunters and warriors alike for blessings in their endeavors. Zeus recognized her abilities and the importance of her domain, and he invited her to join the pantheon of the Olympians. Apollo was the god of the arts, the sun, and prophecy. He was also known as the god of healing and archery. From a young age, Apollo displayed exceptional talents and abilities. He quickly revealed his affinity for music, poetry, archery, and prophecy. It was said that he could play the lyre with such skill and grace that even the gods themselves were enchanted by his melodies. Apollo's mastery of the lyre grabbed the attention of all the gods and mortals, but Apollo's role extended beyond his musical talents. The radiant sun chariot was Apollo's most iconic symbol. Each day he would ride the chariot across the sky, pulling the sun, and thus bringing light and warmth to the world. The sunrise was seen as his triumphant arrival, and the sunset marked his departure as he sailed across the ocean to the western horizon. Apollo's prophetic abilities were also renowned, and his sanctuary at Delphi was renowned as a center of prophecy and oracles. He spoke through the mouth of his priestess, known as the Pythia, to deliver enigmatic prophecies that guided the destinies of mortals and even kings. As the god of archery, Apollo was seen as a protector and defender, especially in times of war. He was often adorned with a bow and arrow, ready to unleash his divine wrath against those who threatened the order of the world. As the god of healing, Apollo was associated with medicinal arts and was often invoked to cure diseases and bring comfort to the sick. His temple at Epidaurus was famous for its healing powers, and countless pilgrims sought his aid for their ailments. Zeus was impressed by his son's many talents. He recognized Apollo's potential and decided to invite him to join the pantheon of the Olympians. The aforementioned Hephaestus also became one of the Olympians. Hephaestus was the god of fire, blacksmiths, and metalworking. He was the son of Zeus and Hera, and his story was one of sadness and hardships. Upon seeing that Hephaestus was born with a physical disability, Hera was ashamed and disgusted at her son's appearance. She rejected him and casted Hephaestus out of Mount Olympus. Hephaestus, with his indomitable spirit and determination, survived the fall and landed on the island of Lemnos, where he was taken in and raised by the sea nymphs, Thetis, and Eurynome. There, he honed his skills as a blacksmith and craftsman, turning his adversity into an opportunity to excel in his craft. With time, Hephaestus became a master artisan, creating magnificent works of art and crafting exceptional weapons and armor for the gods. His creations were unrivaled in their beauty and craftsmanship, and they soon caught the attention of his fellow Olympians. However, Hephaestus harbored anger in his heart. He sought vengeance against his mother Hera for abandoning him. He crafted a beautiful golden throne and presented it to Hera as a gift. The throne was so exquisite that Hera accepted the gift without hesitation. As soon as she sat in the chair, she found herself tied up by numerous invisible cords. Unable to free Hera, the gods persuaded Hephaestus to free her, promising him a place on Olympus. However, Hephaestus refused, still angry with his mother. It was only when Dionysus got him drunk did he agree to free Hera. After all the events that transpired, Hephaestus was allowed to stay, becoming the blacksmith of the gods. Despite the cruelty of Hera, Hephaestus came to love his mother, being kind and obedient towards her. So much so that during one of Hera and Zeus's quarrels, Hephaestus interjected and sided with his mother. Zeus was offended by his actions and seized Hephaestus by the leg and hauled him down from Olympus. However, the gods and goddesses, including Zeus, recognized his remarkable talents. They realized the value of having Hephaestus among them on Mount Olympus. His inventions and craftsmanship proved to be indispensable to their realm, and he brought unique gifts to the divine pantheon. Learning from his mistake, Hephaestus returned back to Olympus, but only acted as a mediator when it came to his parents' quarrels. In time, Zeus acknowledged Hephaestus fully and extended him a seat with the rest of the Olympians. Ares, the formidable god of war, claimed his position among the Olympians through a combination of birthright and his prowess on the battlefield. Ares was the son of Zeus and Hera, born from their divine union. As the god of war, Ares embodied the fierce and tumultuous nature of conflict. From a young age, he displayed an unruly and aggressive temperament, reveling in the chaos of battle and the clash of swords. As a child, Ares was often prone to causing mischief and disturbances on Mount Olympus. His impulsive and warlike nature sometimes clashed with the other gods, leading to tensions and disputes among the divine family. Despite his fiery disposition, Ares's martial prowess and ability as a warrior were unquestionable. He became a fearsome and relentless force on the battlefield, leading armies of mortals into battle and inspiring them with the spirit of conquest. Warriors and soldiers often prayed to him for victory and protection in war. Despite his fearsome and warlike nature, Ares was not without his flaws. His temperament and thirst for violence were not always well received among the gods. He was often depicted with a stern and almost brooding expression, embodying the darker aspects of conflict, such as bloodlust and violence. His impulsive and hot-headed temperament sometimes led him into conflicts with other gods, even his own father Zeus. His position in the divine family was not without its challenges. He faced occasional disapproval and censure from his fellow gods for his reckless and belligerent behavior. However, Zeus, as the ruler of the gods, recognized the importance of having a god of war among the divine pantheon. Ares' martial skills and influence over the realm of war were seen as essential for maintaining order and balance in the world. Over time, Ares' position as the god of war became solidified, and he earned his place among the 12 Olympians. His skill in battle and his divine lineage secured him a permanent spot on Mount Olympus, despite the occasional disputes and rivalries he engendered among the gods. Hermes, the fleet-footed messenger of the gods, was a captivating figure whose journey to becoming one of the 12 Olympians was filled with intrigue and adventure. Hermes was destined for greatness from the moment of his birth. He was son of Zeus and Maia, a beautiful nymph, and daughter of Atlas. Even as an infant, Hermes displayed an extraordinary wit and intelligence. One day, shortly after his birth, he slipped away from his cradle and ventured into the world. His curiosity and mischievous spirit led him to the fields, where he encountered a herd of cattle owned by Apollo, his half-brother. Unbeknownst to Apollo, the young Hermes devised a cunning plan to steal some of the cattle and hide them away. Upon discovering the missing cattle, Apollo was furious and demanded their return. Little did he know that the elusive thief was his own brother, Hermes. However, When confronted by Apollo, Hermes charmed his half-brother with his eloquence and beguiling charm. He played the lyre he had crafted from a tortoise shell, captivating Apollo with its sweet melody. Enthralled by the music, Apollo was willing to pardon the mischievous Hermes in exchange for the wondrous lyre. From that moment on, Hermes' reputation as a gifted musician and skilled orator began to spread throughout the divine realm. As he grew older, Hermes displayed remarkable cunning and resourcefulness. He became known as the Divine Messenger, delivering messages and commands from Zeus to the other gods and goddesses. His swift and agile nature earned him the epithet Hermes the Swift, as he was said to traverse great distances in the blink of an eye. Hermes' cunning extended beyond his role as a messenger. He was also the god of thieves and commerce, using his charm and wit to navigate the worlds of both mortals and immortals. His ingenious inventions, such as the lyre and the caduceus, a staff entwined with serpents, further solidified his place among the divine pantheon. Zeus, impressed by Hermes' versatility and cunning, extended to him a seat as one of the Olympians. He bestowed upon Hermes the honor and responsibility of being among the principal gods of Mount Olympus, the dwelling place of the divine council. There, Hermes would participate in the governance and decision-making of the divine realm, alongside the other esteemed Olympian deities. And with that, Zeus had assembled the 12 Olympians. However, something did not sit right with Zeus. He had planned to have another one of his other sons join the ranks of the Olympians, but all the seats had already been filled. It was then that Zeus's older sister Hestia volunteered to give up her seat amongst the other Olympians. Hestia's choice was not due to any conflict or rivalry, but rather a selfless act to ensure harmony among the gods and maintain the balance of power on Mount Olympus. Her dedication to the well-being of the divine family and her humility made her willingly give up her spot among the 12 Olympians, and in doing so, she became the unofficial 13th and only Olympian who did not have a seat on the council. Hestia remained highly revered and honored, and her presence continued to be cherished in the hearts of the gods and mortals. With Hestia renouncing her seat, Zeus called for his son Dionysus. The story of Dionysus was one of jealousy. Zeus was captivated by a mortal princess named Semele and sought her affection. He appeared before her, showering her with attention and gifts. Their love grew passionate, and Semele soon found herself with child. However, Hera, the jealous queen of the gods and Zeus's wife, became consumed with rage and suspicion. Determined to punish Semele for stealing her husband's affections, Hera devised a cunning plan to reveal Zeus's true identity and destroy the mortal princess. Disguising herself as an old woman, Hera befriended Semele and gained her trust. Seizing the opportune moment, Hera cunningly planted seeds of doubt in Semele's mind about Zeus's true nature. Overwhelmed by curiosity and uncertainty, Semele sought reassurance from Zeus. Unaware of Hera's meddling, Semele pleaded with Zeus to reveal himself in all his divine glory, believing it would be a testament to his love for her. Zeus, bound by an oath, reluctantly agreed. However, mortal eyes were not meant to behold the full majesty of a god. As Zeus revealed his true form, a blinding surge of lightning and thunder filled the room. Semele was consumed by the sheer brilliance of his divinity and was tragically incinerated. But within her womb, the unborn Dionysus was protected. Zeus, stricken with grief over the loss of Semele and determined to save their unborn child, took the infant Dionysus into his care. He sewed the premature god into his own thigh to nurture and protect him until he was ready to be born. After a few months, Dionysus was born again, this time as a fully developed and divine child. Zeus entrusted his son to the care of the nymphs and satyrs in the wild mountains of Nysa, far away from the jealous eyes of Hera. In the care of the nymphs and satyrs, Dionysus grew to embody the essence of his domain. He became the god of wine, the vine, and the transformative power of ecstasy. His presence was marked by the intoxicating spirit of celebration and uninhibited revelry. As Dionysus matured, he embarked on a journey across lands, teaching mortals the art of winemaking and the cultivation of the vine. He spread the gift of wine throughout the world, bringing joy and liberation to those who partook in its pleasures. With his enchanting charisma and power to liberate the soul, Dionysus gained a devoted following known as the Maenads or Bacchantes, ecstatic female worshippers who reveled in his divine presence. Despite being a demigod, Dionysus came to be the god of wine, revelry, and ecstasy. Zeus, recognizing the influence and significance of his son, and granted Dionysus a place among the 12 Olympian gods. Dionysus's unique birth, his power to transform and elevate the human spirit through wine and celebration, and his ability to inspire devotion and ecstasy in mortals, earned him a cherished place among the divine council. Thus, the 12 Olympians were finally established. Zeus, Hera, Poseidon, Demeter, Aphrodite, Athena, Artemis, Apollo, Hephaestus, Ares, Hermes, and Dionysus took their seats on Mount Olympus, while Hades and Hestia held the title of honorary Olympians. The 12 Olympians, the mighty gods and goddesses, held dominion over the cosmos and the affairs of mortals. Each Olympian possessed unique influences, responsibilities, and passions that shaped the very fabric of existence. Together, the 12 Olympians were an awe-inspiring assembly, a symphony of divine power that governed the cosmos and impacted the lives of mortals. Their rivalries and alliances, their triumphs and tragedies, were woven into the tapestry of myth and history. From their celestial abode on Mount Olympus, they watched over the world, intervening in mortal affairs when they deemed it necessary. Mortals prayed to them for guidance, protection, and blessings, hoping to gain favor with these majestic and formidable deities. The 12 Olympians were the very embodiment of the human experience. Their strengths, weaknesses, passions, and emotions mirrored those of mortals. However, even the gods and goddesses were not perfect. As time would pass, each of the Olympians would go on to experience many conflicts amongst one another, as well as interfere with the lives of mortals out of compassion, spite, or simply pure boredom. With the clash of their wills and the depth of their emotions, they revealed a massive web of divine drama, one that captivated the hearts and minds of countless generations.